Jeff, I don't know if you picked your songs before the devastating news about Linda came out, but they certainly were very appropriate. And he was trying to have some songs that go along with, correspond with our lesson. And I thought for a moment there, maybe I should change what I had planned. And no, I think Linda would like this very much. If you are a guest with us and not aware of the pillar in the church here that we love so dearly, Linda Torno, she passed away last night, and we're all kind of in shock right now. And we're going to spend a few minutes doing what we always do. We've been worshiping God, and now we're going to study from His Word. But I know that is very much on your mind. I've been gone for a week. I was just coming back when Shane tried to call me. I was actually on an airplane moving, about to take off. I said, I can't talk right now. I have to wait. And I just could not dream that this was the news when I finally landed. And we are just heartbroken. I've only known her 3 years. And she immediately adopted me as her son. Sorry, Shane. And in part because my parents' names are Ray and Linda. And they're Ray and Linda. And I just spent a week in the house of my parents who are aging, and it was very poignant for me to think about being with my mom, and she's not doing well, and now my other mom, Linda, has passed away. We're going to look at Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7, the verses that were read for us so well by Dallas. The person in the picture there, by the way, I think it's Dwayne, looking out at the mountains, and he is so happy to be and able to bask in the radiance of God and see the beautiful mountains that are there. And I hope today, for the few minutes that we have, these thoughts will be beneficial and encouraging to us. We look at these great heroes of faith that make up all of chapter 11. And there are so many as the reading continues in verse 8. But look at the ones that we already saw. He commends the people of old, God's people of old in verse 2. Abel in verse 4. Enoch in verse 5. Noah in verse 7. And the list goes on and on. Abraham in verse 8. It's just a glorious chapter. And sometimes we get the idea that these people are so far ahead of us, so beyond us, that we could never attain to their examples of faith. But I think the point of the Hebrew writer is, yes, they are magnificent examples of people who were dedicated to God. And he commended them for their faith. But at the same time, God will enable us to live up to these challenges, whatever situation we find ourselves in. And of course, all of these pale in comparison with the ultimate example. As we cross over into chapter 12, there is Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the ultimate example of faith. How would you define faith? What does it mean exactly? We know the pat answer of Hebrews 11 verse 1. The substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. And we see these examples of people who lived by faith. This is what motivated them. It wasn't because what they were doing was easy. It was despite the fact it was hard. They had such faith and confidence in God. They were dedicated to Him. It's one thing to want to do something. You want to play a video game, guys, and you do it not because you have to, but because you want to. But what about serving the Lord? Doing as we sang about in A Beautiful Life, serving others and helping others. And in part we enjoy it, but it's also laborious at times. Cleaning for people or preparing food for people or ministering to them in some other capacity. And we do it because we are dedicated to the ultimate servant, Jesus Christ our Lord, as we follow His example. We live our lives because we are dedicated to Him. Think for a moment about Cain and Abel, who were cited here in verse 4, Abel offered a sacrifice more acceptable than Cain because he offered it by faith. And as we go back and we could read in Genesis 4 and read between the lines, because it doesn't come right out and say what's going on in the heart of Cain, but it seems he has not offered the best of his produce. He has instead offered the leftovers. It'd be like saying to your wife, "Oh, it's your birthday. Yeah, that's great. Hey, I got a pack of gum here that I've eaten all the little sticks, and I've got one left. Here you go. Happy birthday." Kind of an afterthought. I don't think she's going to be well pleased with that. God wants our best. He wants us to dedicate ourselves to Him and serve Him. You have a man named Enoch who walked with God, according to Genesis 11, verse 5. In Genesis 6, verse 5, it says that during the time when he lived, everybody was evil. Everyone. Every thought of man was evil continually. And then there's Enoch, who walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Isn't that marvelous? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have our own faith. It may have started in the hearts of our parents and our grandparents, but eventually we must have our own faith. We must develop our own faith. And that only comes from dedication to God. It's going to come by hearing His Word, believing it, and then when the going gets tough, and it will, when you're trying to live as a Christian, to be completely dependent on Him and live for Him. In these few verses that we have examples of people who made sacrifices, who accepted the challenge of serving the Lord. And the response is, God commended them. You see it again there, and again in the verses that were read for us. God commending Abel by his sacrifice. Noah being commended, even though he condemned the world. I want to suggest very quickly three ways that we can delight our Heavenly Father by our faithful obedience. And consider with me, first of all, we need to be faithful in our worship. Be faithful in our worship. It's not just that we worship, but how we worship. Just like we said, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. We want to do what God tells us to do. So we've got to hear what He has to say. And in the face of Cain, who wanted to offer a sacrifice to God that was displeasing to God, what did God say in response to that? If you go back to Genesis 4, verse 7, this is what God said to Cain after his abysmal sacrifice. "You will be accepted if you do what is right." Cain knew what was right. If faith does come by hearing, that means Abel knew what God wanted. He had heard what God wanted. Cain knew, but he did not offer his best. The worship that delights God is when we are truly obedient to Him. We're not here because somebody made us. We're not worshiping, singing the songs, and eating the supper because this is just a routine that we have. It's because we want to be here. We want to praise and magnify God. We want to commemorate His death, burial, and resurrection because it means something to us. But there are people who sometimes come into our assemblies or know, "Hey, I'm a member of Parkway, the Parkway Church of Christ," and they say, you don't have a rock band. You don't even have instruments of music. Why not?" Well, it's because we want to worship God in accordance with what He has commanded. Simple as that. It's not that we don't like instruments. It's not that we don't like fun, exciting atmospheres. Rather, our focus is on pleasing God, and we're going to worship Him in accordance with His Word. And it means that we are going to, in every aspect of our life, worship Him. It's not just here today, but Monday through Saturday, we live for Him. We are obedient to Him. What is acceptable worship to God? Let me read to you these words from Paul the Apostle in Romans 12. "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God," listen to this, "which is your reasonable worship. When we live for the Lord, when we give of ourselves to the Lord, we are lauding Him. We are magnifying Him in our lives. We are worshiping Him. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God has given us His Word. We're able to read it and know what He wants from us. And then we need to serve Him wholeheartedly. What did Abel do? All the way back in Genesis 4. He brought the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. Genesis 4, verse 4. Worship that pleases the Lord is worship that gives God our best. We may not be able to sing operatically or as pretty as Joe Lynn or someone else in the congregation. That does not matter to God. All He cares about is the heart. We don't have to get all the right notes. We don't have to give $1,000 a week in our contribution. We give as we have purposed in our heart based on what we have. And that's what God approves. Not the amount, but the amount that we give of ourselves to the Lord. He wants our heart. That is what He delights in. And Abel's sacrifice was approved. Cain's was not. And as you know, Cain was so jealous of his brother, he kept sinking deeper and deeper into sin. God deserves our best. I want you to turn with me for just a moment, if you're still in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 13, I want to read a couple of verses with you along these lines. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Near the end of this sermon. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Do we worship God on Sunday morning? Yes, absolutely. Do we worship God every day of the week by how we live? Yes. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. Let's worship the Lord and laud Him in song and worship, but also in how we live our lives. This is the delight of God. Secondly, based on Hebrews 11, I want you to see that we are faithful in our walk with God. That's what He expects of us. Go back to Hebrews 11 as we move on now to the example cited of Enoch. Enoch was taken up that he would not see death. If you go back to Genesis 11, you've got all these names of people, Adam and Seth and all these others, and there's a recurring phrase in Genesis 11, and he died. You see these guys live to astronomical ages, 900 years. Methuselah, the one with the longest number of years in that list, and we're really impressed by that. But you know what happened to him? And he died, except for Enoch, who walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. It's like this, Enoch and God walking together. And Enoch says, "Oh Lord, this is just imaginary. It's getting late, I better get back home." And God says, "Why don't you just come home with me?" This is a man who lived faithfully in the midst of an evil world. And that's what God has called us to do as well. To live holy, holy lives, just as He is. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4 for just a moment. We were just in 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about those who do not grieve as those without hope. Well, that's only going to happen if we live our lives in accordance with God's expectations and desires of us. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 1, he says, here's what is a life pleasing to God. Finally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be pure and holy. How are we going to do that? By abstaining from sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Verse 7. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. We'll stop there. That is not the message you are hearing from your television set or hearing or reading in books. Rather, it's a focus on the power that we can attain from money and all the pleasures that can be satisfied because of what we have. The physical is the focus. Sexuality is emphasized even in young children. This whole idea of not knowing your sexual orientation. And that's the last thing young kids need to be thinking about at such a young age. An emphasis on sexuality. Paul would write in Ephesians 5 verse 3, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because that is not proper for God's people. But we don't like being left out. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to not fit in. How do you think Enoch felt when he walked with God and everybody else was so evil? The thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. Do you feel like, brothers and sisters, I'm living in a world that I don't belong in? When you watch the Super Bowl halftime performances and you think, what a bunch of garbage. That's not what I enjoy at all. And yet, that's what the world enjoys. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Aren't you glad that you have an oasis, a place that God has designed for us to be able to come together with Christians of like faith who love the Lord, who love each other? What a blessing it is to come together. We are not here because we have to be. We're here because we truly want to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God has called us to a higher standard of living. We are to walk like Enoch, walk with God in regard to our holy living and holy language, holy speech. This is a man, Enoch, who was so successful in holy living while living in a sinful world, that he was counter to his culture. And it's interesting, some of the language that is used to describe Enoch in the little letter of Jude. If you can find Revelation, you can find Jude. Just one chapter. Here's verses 14 and 15. It says about Enoch that he was the seventh from Adam, and Enoch prophesied, saying, this is Enoch, words we don't have in the Old Testament. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his angel ones, of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's how Enoch felt in his heart about the ungodliness of the world. Did you notice that word appeared once or twice? I kind of emphasized it for all four instances. It's hard for us to not fit in. We want to get along with everybody. But hearing, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, not by the message of the world. What's natural is giving ourselves over to our desires. But for those who walk with God, we see the world and we don't say, oh boy, that looks like fun. We say, that is ungodly filth. I don't want anything to do with it. Sin promises us fun and fulfillment, and all it delivers is a momentary enjoyment. Yes, that's why we do it. But in the end, it brings death and sorrow and disappointment. You know that. When we become Christians, our sins are washed away, but the temptations, they don't go away. They continue. And we need to be like this great hero of faith, and walk with the Lord. And finally, we come this morning to Noah, a person who was faithful in his service to God. Why? Because he wanted to be obedient to God in the face of something that apparently they had never seen. Rain, as we read in the opening chapters of Genesis, we don't think rain had ever come. Noah lived in that same time period when people were so evil, and yet the text says in Genesis 6 verse 9, he was a just man, perfect in his generation. And in Hebrews 11 verse 7, we read that God warned him concerning events yet unseen. But in reverent fear, he constructed the ark for the saving of his household. What do you think people thought as Noah was over there pulling all that wood and from the tree, from the forest, and his sons working, laboring on this humongous boat? You think they chided him? You think they ridiculed him? I want you to look with me at divine commentary on Peter, on Noah, in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. I just love that we have some snippets of what these great men and women of God are thinking that we don't always get from the Old Testament. And it says, as we interrupt the sentence in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, it says that they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of the dead. So as Noah is building this ark, people are going to ridicule him. People are going to ask him, why are you doing this? And this is his chance to tell people about the salvation of God. But as you know, only eight humans were saved in the flood. And we're talking about Noah, Mrs. Noah, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And that's it. You think Noah had friends? People he loved? Other family? They didn't make it, did they? And yet, he taught them. He condemned the world by building the ark. If we're reading it right in Genesis 6 through 9, the indication is that it took him over a century to build this ark. Yeah, Noah lived hundreds and hundreds of years like they did back then. He didn't have the power tools that we would have to build the ark today. Did Noah want to fit in? Because he didn't. He wanted to be accepted not by people, but by God. And that's what God wants for us. And as we live our lives, they're going to see how different we are. Not, why are you building a boat? Rather, why aren't you gambling on the big game? Why don't you go to the drinking parties at work when the guys just want to blow off some steam? Why don't you talk badly about your spouse, about your wife or husband? Why are you so faithful? You've been married 30, 40 years? How? How do you do that? We live holy lives because we have values that the world does not share. And we too walk by faith. Do you remember where we started? In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Abel, being dead, still speaks. Enoch was not, because God took him. He did not see death. Noah, not only did God save his family, his physical family, from the water, but more importantly, as verse 7 of Hebrews ends, he became an heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. In other words, God saved their souls. I'm here in Hebrews 11. I want to read two more verses, and then we will finish this morning. Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. All these, not just these examples of faith, but Abraham, Moses, and many others, All these, though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was ultimately promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Why should we talk about these Old Testament examples? Because our reward is going to be just as great and wonderful. We're also going to receive the eternal blessings. And as the Hebrew writer says, apart from us, they should not be made perfect. God still values our faithfulness and our service to Him. And He will reward those who are faithful. Not those who serve because they feel like they have to, but because they truly want to. I appreciate your attention this morning. I hope in some small way these thoughts from Hebrews 11, 1 through 7 can help us and encourage us. But the ultimate display of our faith is when we are faithful to the Lord. And I hope all of us who in our heart of hearts know we haven't been as strong as we should be will pray today and ask God to help us. What if you're not a Christian at all? You would be able to tell the whole world, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Not that my parents do or that my grandparents do or that I'm being pressured in any way to do it. I'm doing this because I want to. And that's only be able to be determined by you. And if we can help you this morning, be pleasing to God and delight Him, we hope you'll let us help you by baptizing you for the remission of your sins. We plead with you to make your way to the front right now, please, as we stand and sing.